And we're just going to go from verse 37 to 47. So, Acts 2, verse 37 to 47. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many of, and with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Oh, sorry, I just lost my... and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day to those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just want to offer up this morning to you, Lord, and just come speak to us. Give us open hearts, open minds, and just a heart to receive whatever you have in store for us today, Lord. We thank you, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, prior to this verse, just to give a little context, Pentecost just happened. So, the disciples and just, I guess, believers had come together, and the Holy Spirit descended, and it says there was tongues of fire, which there was like a little light above everyone's head that looked like a flicking fire, and people broke out in tongues. I'm sure it was kind of similar, if not crazier, than some of our revival services. So I'm sure there were like tears and all that. And people broke out in tongues. And not only did they break out in tongues, but they broke out in tongues of other languages. So this was where, like, people who don't know the language would suddenly speak that language. Example, you know, I broke out in this tongue of French or Khmer, right? It would be, but you have no idea what you're saying. And so basically, craziness breaks out, and they're gathering, and they're looking to Peter for advice. And they kind of say, to Peter, like, "Oh, what do we do now?" So, kind of like, you know, there's no church yet at this time. So it's not like, oh, like it's easy for us. We know we come to church. Okay, we worship. We have house church. Oh, that's how we go about our lives. But at this point, they have no idea what to do, right? They've experienced the Holy Spirit, but now what? So Peter instructs them as to what to do, and the first thing he tells them to do, and I think there's a reason for this order, right? Is The first thing he does is he tells the people to, I'm just making this term up, but get on the same page first. And what is involved with getting on the same page is to repent and receive the Holy Spirit. So repent, if I were just do a quick description, and credit goes to Pastor Nate as he gave me this description years ago. It's not just, yes, it's ask for forgiveness and confessing your sins and saying, and in itself would mean you're never going to do it again. But it's simply turning away from your life of self-centeredness, sin, if that's what you're experiencing, and you just turn 180 and fix your eyes on Jesus. Simply. That's repentance. And it's a heart matter, too, when you do it. But also, I was just thinking, just in regular relationship, it's so important for a relationship, right, to be able to, well, I guess in most instances with husbands and wives or friends, when there's a conflict and disagreement, in order for you to be able to start living life again, you need to get on the same page again. And that, maybe it's not, we don't really repent, but it's more like you ask for forgiveness, you tell the person, like, you. Usually the guy has to understand really what the root of the matter is, because how can you, which is correct, how can you be sorry or ask for forgiveness in something you don't even really understand what you're sorry for, which is very hard but necessary. So you need to do that and ask for forgiveness with your heart, and only after that happens can you live life again. Because later in this verse, I'm just going to reference it first, they talk about the disciples, eating together, right? Have you ever fought with someone and then you eat together? It's like the worst experience, right? The whole time, you don't even know what you're eating. You're just, like, your mind's just, I don't know, thinking of comebacks, thinking of how to prove you're right, until finally, hopefully, you can humble yourself. And it's not so much about yourself, but it's actually about the other person that they're hurt, right? And then you can humble yourself and apologize. So first thing they ask is repent. But then secondly, to really get on the same page is they need to receive the Holy Spirit. And the importance of that is the Holy Spirit not only guides us, but brings us unity. One of the components of the Holy Spirit is to bring unity, which is needed, especially when you have, like, all these different people of different backgrounds. There's nothing they have in common. New people come, you know, it's like, you know, I'll try my best to welcome you, but it's awkward, you know. So what's needed is the Holy Spirit. And a question that's often brought up is, this is a little unrelated, but, you know, we talk about, dating, and especially with marriage, you need to be equally yoked, right? By equally yoked, usually we just say, Christians can only marry Christians, for example. Or, that's why we don't suggest you date a non-Christian, because you guys are unequally yoked. But actually, to be equally yoked is actually even more than that. It would be even like where you are in your faith that needs to be equal. But then the question back would come up, like, well, how equally yoked do you have to be? What level of equally yoked? And I would say, this is just my personal, it would be where they're born again and have received the Holy Spirit, right, and have a conviction in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and they want to live for his kingdom purposes, right? That's the level. So for me, whether you've been, you know, you're an elder at church and you've been, you know, a Christian for 20 years versus someone who's been a Christian for 1 year, but they have that same heart, which is basically I'm living for Christ. I want to obey and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Then I would say that's okay. And for those who are haven't met their other half yet, I really suggest it because it's really hard if you're not equally yoked. Even when you're equally yoked, you'll sometimes, husband and wife, you'll come into seasons where you're kind of on different pages, right? Where, say, you know, my wife, say Janie, she's like on fire for the Lord, and she just wants to pray all the time and you know, fast and just serve and just really be a good son to the church. And if I'm in a season where I'm just like in a funk and I'm lazy, it's hard for Janie because she's the one who has to always, you know, like drag me along. Come on, let's go to church. Do you want to pray? And after a while, that gets tiring, honestly. And so what we want is to be, and we're already kind of on the same page. What I mean is, like, in my instance, it's not that like, oh, I'm not, like, everything she would tell me, I'm like, yeah, that's true, that's good, you know, yeah, we should pray, but I don't actually do it. But at least conceptually, like, in my mind, we're on the same page, but our heart is in the wrong place, right? So, first thing Peter asks of us is to get on the same page, and that requires first kind of a confession. And second is we need the power of the Holy Spirit to just unify us, right? Despite our language, our culture, our background, Holy Spirit can unify us. The next is I want to call next part that Peter not necessarily describes, but like what actually happens is people just start sharing like crazy in the community. And I think this is kind of a result of an overflow of just the unity they have, where people are selling stuff and sharing stuff. And it's amazing. And, you know, at SP, I've experienced this with just people's generosity. But once where we really experience this, because oftentimes the generosity that happens is individual, right? So you have a need, and then someone comes and helps you, and then you feel very moved by that individual who represents the community, of course, and of course that God provided through this individual. But there was one time we had retreat with a South African guest speaker. His name was Stefan Hugo from YWAM. And, you know, he was preaching and teaching. At the end, he did this kind of call. And he said, basically, why don't you pray and, you know, basically give someone something that is important to you. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was like silent. And if no one comes up, it's kind of awkward, right? So, but then people started responding, and it was almost escalating, at which point, like, people were kind of, I guess, just freely giving up things. Or not giving up, but, like, freely wanting to bless others. So I remember, like, one was, I think Mary, Tinian's sister, had remembered that Trish, just in passing,
that she was like, oh, I love cello. That's always been my dream, to play cello. So Tin Yan, who had been learning cello, like, I guess, all her life, is that correct? All her life? Pretty much. For many years, she actually gave Trish her cello, who just, like, in passing said, oh, cello. Another one, and then people were, like, giving away, like, iPhones, like, oh, I know your phone isn't very good, so let me give you my brand new iPhone that I just received. Or another one was like someone, this girl, this is like really touching. She actually had a ring that her father gave her when the father passed away. The father gave the daughter a ring, and she actually gave this ring to her friend and said, like, oh, bless you. Like, the whole point was to give up something. And at that point, like, it was amazing. Like, the whole church was just bawling. At that point, like, you know, sometimes we get offering and, like, you know, say, Poverty Sunday offering, and it comes, and we all give faithfully, but we're like, what should I give God? Oh, that's a lot. Okay, I'll do it, right? Like, I should do it, and you do it. But at that point, it was almost like you wanted to give something that was of cost and give it to someone. It's like, oh God, what can I give? What can I give? I want to be part of this, like, incredible unity that was happening. And that's the overflow. That's what it should look like in community. And what you want to look out for, which is, I think, in our flesh, is where we are tit for tat, right? Where we're very calculating. Where, oh, this person, I don't know, you know, blah, blah, person, Yvain got me a birthday present. Really good one. So when it's her birthday, I may get her a good present as well. Oh, you know, Ben didn't get me a present. So when his birthday comes, I'm not getting a present, right? I mean, it's good to be, appreciative of when people bless you and reciprocate, but don't not, you know, bless people just because they didn't offer it to you first, right? Because, I mean, Christ has already provided his life to us. And this, especially for, again, just friends, relationships, don't operate out of tit for tat. Right? Especially couples where, oh, it never ends otherwise. Especially once you have kids, like, oh, it's your turn to do this. It's your turn to take out the garbage. And you're like, what? I did it last week. And then it'll escalate into totally unrelated. Well, remember I cooked for you that time? And then it just goes back and forth, really unhealthy. Just serve one another. And this is supposed to be the person you love the most already, right? So already that person you're supposed to really love and care for. But within our community, we're called to even do that more. And then finally, the third thing is what I kind of shared is just the fellowship, right? Totally necessary. And I think that's why we model this and have house church, where, you know, in this verse it talks about just the community breaking bread, right? But the order needs to follow where, or an environment where, you know, we've repented, we've received the Holy Spirit, we're one body, one flesh, not one flesh, one body, like church body, and then we have this amazing giving servant heart where we're not keeping track of who did this, we're not keeping track of, like, you know, who bought dinner, who didn't buy dinner. You know, everyone who comes is just freely serving. And even with this, I'm sorry, backtracking, but even with, like, you know, like our church body, right? When we serve, I always tell the people who serve under me, it really should be just a response, right? Like, you're so happy, you're so blessed. You feel like you're part of this church, so you want to contribute, so you serve. And that's it. But oftentimes I hear all these, like, really complicated reasons of why you're serving. It's like, oh, what, you know, kind of like, oh, what What do I get out of this when I serve? Am I really called to do this? What is God trying to teach me as I do this? Which he will, and it's okay to keep those things in mind. But really, it should be like not what I get out of it when we serve, but just I want to make myself available. What does the church need? And I will serve. So I don't really focus on the third point, which is community. But as a result, it should just happen, right? And I think especially, you know, through house church, you really do get to experience that. And sometimes it does take a little time. But when you get to a point where you know you're all on the same page and we all have that just heart to help and serve one another, oh, the fellowship's so fun. So let's pray. And as Monica, leads us in worship, you know, let's take some time to just reflect. You know, we just had this very important and kind of long series on sonship, right? Are we a good son? And maybe we can also ask ourselves, like, what does that look like, right? Especially in regards to house church, church. Are we really, is my heart, am I like equally yoked, and am I of unity? It earlier also talks about just all the believers, just really embracing the teaching of the apostles as well. Are we just like ready to receive what Pastor Sam has and just other people who come here to speak at the pulpit? Do we have a heart where we really want to just help and bless without strings attached? Not because of this verse or even the Bible says so. Not because Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell his material things and help the poor. But is it because it's just an overflow of just wanting to? No strings attached. No strings attached in helping people, serving. I mean, if you have all that, then praise God. You can pray for your church, pray for your house church. But if you feel like there are areas where you need to really repent, to be more generous and not keep track of all the things you are or aren't blessed with, then just go to God with those things. Thank you.
search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Yes, God, we just desire to be part of something that's so much greater than ourselves, Lord. We just desire to be part of your kingdom purposes, Lord. And to be part of just this church and community, Lord. Teach us, God, how to go about, help us to be of just one mind and one heart, Lord, and really also know the heart of the Father, you, as well as Pastor Sam, and just the leadership, Lord. Give us a heart, Lord, where we can just overflow with gratefulness and love, where because you have just satisfied us and provided for us in every aspect, God, that we can also just respond by also just freely giving in our love, in our wealth, in our abilities, God, to serve and love one another, God. And we just thank you, Lord, that you know, we have church, we have this place where we can freely worship and have this community, Lord, where we don't have to do this and struggle on our own, alone, God. So we just thank you, fellas, in Jesus' name. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's cover those who are suffering from cancer, who are dealing with chemo and also recovering. Let's pray for God's healing, for strength, for his presence, just to be sensed as people are going through these ordeals. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from illness and but also need just salvation, a relationship with Jesus. Let's pray that for circumstances and loved ones to come and just share the gospel with these people. Slide. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Next, let's just cover those looking for jobs still. Let's pray for God to open up doors, to lead them and to guide them and give them wisdom as they receive interviews. Let's go to our Thursday prayers. Let's first cover up missions. Let's cover Cambodia and Grace and Bloom, as well as Japan and P. Sophia there. Let's pray for IP Well Cascade. Let's pray for his anointing and protection. And let's pray also for just unity in the team, that they would also be unified. Pray for Alpha. Let's pray for their unity and protection, for core team members, and just the timing of when they should start the new season. For the education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for the Thursday outreaches, SP Lights, as well as Homey Outreach. Finally, let's pray for the house churches tonight, Robin Hood, Elements, Austin West, Olympic. Pray for just a wonderful time of fellowship. Many house churches are doing Thanksgiving dinner. So it'll just be a time of where they can feast, but also just really enjoy each other's company, koinonia. It would be more than just eating, but it would also just be a koinonia time. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, God, and just your purposes, Lord. Let's pray that you know, everyone here today would really just draw near to you, really just hear your heart, as well as be able to be guided by Holy Spirit. That we could just experience you today, Lord. Help us to hear and see what's happening around us, Lord, and that we be quick to obey and step into, you know, your kingdom purposes. Pray for your protection over everyone, as well as just bless them, Lord, in all that they do. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please continue to spend quality time and have a great day.